Isaiah gave us these words, perhaps for a time like this. Can a mother forget the baby at the breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. The walls are ever before me. These are the words we might need to rest in today, that God will never forget us. These are the words that we need to remember, that we don't know what our tomorrow lies, holds, or will bring. But we know for sure who will be in our tomorrows. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because he promised us that though we may worry, we are not to taught us rather, we're not to worry about our tomorrows. Because it has enough to worry about itself. But today is our tomorrow, isn't it? Today is the day we know we can live, and we shall live it victoriously. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Father, we just thank you for life. We thank you for the assurance of your faith. We thank you for the assurance of your presence in our lives. We thank you, God, for being our Lord in our today and our tomorrows. Lord, we love you, and we need you more than ever this day. Be with us as we try to lift you up today, Father. We're about to lift you up, dear God. Just take charge of this space, dear Lord Jesus. Bring us in one with you, dear Lord God, one with you. And may my people who are listening to this now, God, feel your presence anew. Feel the assurance of you in their lives. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I pray always. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know about you lately, but I've been getting overwhelmed with all the news and the broadcasting and the Facebook posts and the Twitter tweets. I just stopped watching. It's just getting overwhelming. I just needed time to just be away. I don't know about our tomorrows. We're just walking from day to day, as Donna sings. I don't know about you, but lately I've been getting so overwhelmed with all the news reports and the Facebook posts and the tweets. I just felt like I needed to step away from it all. And I did just that. Shut it all down on Thursday afternoon. I needed to be in a true place of Sabbath, a place where I'm just with God. But in after that, I received a picture a friend of mine sent that he saw on Twitter, which reads, "Fear eats the soul." It made me wonder and pause. How many of us right now might be crippled by faith of this pandemic that's before us? Are my people's souls being eaten away by fear? Because there's so much unknown in our space right now, and I can't imagine what you might be going through. I can almost imagine just seeing the fear eating away of our souls. Fear about getting sick. Fear about our finances. Fear about the future. Fear for our relationships, our community, and the world at large. It must be raging in our souls. So in an effort to protect herself, have we found that fear is driving us to making decisions we might never make before? I'm not talking about like safe decisions of not being here in this space. Yeah, those are good because we're fair to being here. That's what we have to do. We want to be part of the solution. That is why I'm standing here in an empty sanctuary missing all of you so much. Not that kind of fear. I'm talking about the kind of fear that motivates every move and hampers our faith. It can cause us to be frantic and frenzied. It can cripple us with moving the what-if world. You know, the other day I called on one of our members here just to check and see how she was doing, and she was just telling me how she was staying in the Bible reading that we're on, the stepping in the Bible, stepping in the story, Bible reading plan. She said that is just keeping us centered. Then she tells me that she had called one of our members too, and she said that friend was in the garden, just working in the garden, because she just needed to get out a little bit, get a little fresh air. This social distancing is eating in our souls. And I want to perhaps put some practices, perhaps like what Max Licardo, as the famous Autumn pastor, said in a sermon, maybe we can put these into practice. Just if you feed your fear, your faith will fade. If you feed your faith, your fear will fade.
Oh, amen.
Amen, indeed. So we were going to concentrate and see how we can feed our faith so that fear will fade. You might be spending your whole day looking at video, waiting for the next bad news to drop to feed your fear. But instead, I invite you to intentionally and proactively focus on God. Because in that space, faith will always win. That is why we have been encouraging everyone to read and reflect on the stories of Jesus Christ found in the four Gospels. For the past 4 weeks, we have been on this series. Those of you who are just joining us for the first time, we have been on this series called Stepping into the Story. It invites us, ordinary followers of Jesus Christ, to feed their faith by encouraging Jesus into the story. What Max Licardo, famous author and pastor, says in a sermon, he said, if you feed your fear, your faith will fade. If you feed your faith, your fear will fade.
Amen.
Amen. So my friends, this is a time where we're called now to step into Jesus' story. Step and find his faith stories and continue to find what God has put before us, his grace, his love to deal with times like these. If you were to summarize Jesus' stories, all his life and ministry, you probably could put them in three categories. You can put them in three categories. Teaching, preaching, and healing. We don't hear much, we don't preach much about healing. And that's what we need right now. We need healing upon the land. We need healing among our people. So I'm going to spend some time today and talk about some healing power of Jesus Christ. Because as a matter of fact, of the three, healing is where he spends most of his time doing. Amen. But we are so afraid of it when the things are happening in the supernatural ways. This healing that we need right now. I'm going to share with you some stories from the Gospel of Mark. You know, Mark was written to an audience that was fearful. They were under the regime and the leadership of the Romans, and they were living in fear. And in that fearful state, they were losing their faith. So what a better book to turn to right now to deal with what we're facing today. Mark wants to feed your faith to help the people keep the faith during the times of fearful times. He shares story in Jesus about Jesus in rapid fire, faith-inducing, fear-reducing stories that shows Jesus' power over them all. So today I beg to hear the power of the words in the storms that are raging in the world. This storm we're going to call COVID-19. Because we heard in the end of chapter 4, he went and spoke 3 words to the raging storm that the disciples were so fearful. And he spoke just 3 words. Peace, be still. Just to remind us, he has power over nature. Yes. He has power over everything. He created everything and he has power over it. Peace be still. I pray these are the words we can hear now, that Jesus is speaking into our soul that is being eaten and being eaten by fear. Peace be still. And right after that, in Mark 5, Mark gives us three faith-inducing, fear-reducing stories in rapid fire that shows Jesus' power over three fear inducers: demon, disease, and death. So let's step in the still with me a little further. See, immediately after stepping out of the boat, Jesus hears the most ungodly shriek and sees a naked, bleeding, half-shackled, wild man running towards him, falling down at the posture of worship at his feet, screaming, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." The evil spirit knew that he had met their match in Jesus. Oh. Jesus commands the demons to leave the man and send him into the nearby herd of 2,000 pigs, and they ran into the sea and drowned. It always fascinates me with this story that the enemy, the demon, the devil, Satan, whatever you want to call, always know Jesus' name. They could identify who he was. They identified him before the disciples did. They knew every time Jesus encountered one of these evil spirits, they knew who he was. Yeah. Do you? Do you know who he is? In the space of fear, this is where we really need to know who Jesus is. We need to know him too, just as the devil had declared that day, Son of God of the Most High. He is our God, our Most High, our Jesus Christ. You see, my friends, the evil inside this man had threatened to destroy the image of God in him. By the power of Jesus Christ, commanded that a man to be set free, subdued and set free, soon and fully clothed and fully restored, the man became an evangelist. Jesus always said that we will be his witness. He calls us to be his witness. And when we step in his power and see it at work, now we have a story to tell. We have a story that is alive and true. This man experienced God in a way that he never did before. And now he's no longer naked. He's clothed. And then he went and in his restored state, go and tell the story of Jesus Christ. Does anybody out there need to be clothed this morning? That need to be restored so you can become a witness of Jesus Christ in your life? When the people see his transformation, they were astonished. You know, I love this story in Mark 5:15. It said, the crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legions of demons. He was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were afraid. Sitting rather than pacing, clothed rather than naked, sane rather than mad. The miracle strikes fear into the hearts of those who sees him. Why is it that people, when they witness God's power, fear creeps in? Because we don't talk about it enough. We sit back and watch, this is for somebody else. That's the time in the Bible. That doesn't happen anymore. But we have to admit the irony and the funniness in that verse. Because once the crowd were afraid because he was mad. And once he was broke from the chains, screaming through the tombs. But now they're afraid because he's clothed and sane. We just can't please them all, can we? We're afraid when it's good. We're afraid when it's bad. Lord, help your people. Lord, help me. I know a lot of us in this North American not very familiar with dynamic stories and the activities, but believe me and trust me when I say that there are people out there who are being possessed. These stories can be real today. We have to agree there is good and bad in the world, and they can manifest themselves in some very mysterious ways. But I wonder if you really can, there's some that you can really recognize right now, isn't there? That Satan is at work among us. I don't know what you people call who sell children as sex slaves, but I call them demonic. Yes. I don't know what you call the systematic racism and hate groups, but I call them demonic. Yes. I don't know what you call kids in Nicaragua who is walking through giant lumps of metals to get money to pay for drugs and alcohol, but I call it demonic. In this story, Mark wants us to know that Jesus has the power over demon and darkness. And as we step further into the story a little bit later, Mark is giving us a sneak peek into what's coming. Later in Jesus' ministry, we will be taken out to Golgotha, to the place called the skull. Much like the man that he healed, Jesus will be led in chains, stripped, naked, and hung isolated on a cross. Jesus would enter into the suffering of all who have been threatened and overtaken by evil. And he will conquer evil so that we have nothing to fear. Hallelujah. And so after the disciples see Jesus' power over the demonic forces, that wasn't enough for one day, you would think. But Jesus is going to show us now the power over disease. Jesus wanted to feed the faith of his followers then and now. See, on that day, he continued the adventure. They got into the boat again onto the other side of the Sea of Galilee. This time, no storms to be quieted. Thank you, Jesus. And as they got out of the boat, a waiting crowd was there to meet them that pressed against Jesus. You might want to think of Disney World in June. That's how the crowd is. Thus pressing against Jesus. And as in that crowd was a woman who had suffered with a disease that caused her to bleed nonstop for 12 years. As a matter of fact, she had spent all of her money just going from doctor to doctor trying to find a cure for this disease, this condition that kept her bleeding. So bad that she was considered unclean. And to live out all the Leviticus laws, she had to be isolated. She would not. She's living in isolation. Can you imagine that? 12 years living in isolation from your family, your community, your church. And we're doing it for a couple of weeks now. God, please come and clean us up and get us back into the church, into our families. But imagine the scene. The crowd is coming in on Jesus. And here comes this woman. They come and say, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. I gotta go see him. If I could only touch him. Excuse me. And in the right moment, she got to him. And she just lunged down, touched the hem of his robe, And immediately both she and Jesus felt something happened. She felt that she's been healed immediately. Jesus felt power left from his body. In the instant, both of them knew something had happened. And then Jesus turned around and asked, blurt out these words, "Who touched me?" You have to imagine that Jesus do know who touched me. But he's a man always want witness. Just get your attention, crowd. Something is happening here. And I need you to see who touched me. And his disciples, as Terry would say, my friend, blurted out, "What do you mean? You see the crowd around here? How should I know who touched you? From all these people, how will I know who touched you?" But that woman, I could just see it. The scripture literally says, when the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, she came and fell to the knees, to her knees in front of him, and told him that she had what she had done. Let me get this straight. When the demons came to Jesus, they fell on their knees in front of him in a posture of worship. When the woman came to identify herself and knowing what had already done to her, she fell in fear and trembling to her knees in front of our Lord. What posture are we keeping today? What is the posture we have as we sit and wait in isolation, social distancing? What posture do we take? It is the one that we are on our knees in front of the Lord, worship him. Because I know when we bring up our praise, things happen. Things happen when we lift up our praise before the Lord, when we can sit there. Because I know of another story too, where when Peter, Paul, and Silas were sitting in jail, shackled, they started singing hymns and praying, and there was a loud noise and broke all the chains. You want to set free today? You're going to break your chains today? You're going to lift up your praise, bring your praise up on high, get to the place of worship. Lift your worship up. This is the time we are called to rise up in our worship. Can it break chains? Hallelujah. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." What words of grace. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. I want you to realize when Jesus called her daughter, that was him bringing her back out of social distancing and bringing her back into the family, bringing her back, calling her my daughter. You're not part of us. Your shame no longer holds you separated. This disease that raked your body for 12 years no longer separates you. You can come back to your family, Come back to your community. Jesus, welcome her back and release her from social distancing. My brothers and sisters, hear the good news. God has the power to bring healing to the sick bodies and suffering souls. That woman knew only Jesus could give her what she needed. Only Jesus could cure her of her disease. We all have some kind of disease in our lives. Yeah, a moment to think about them. And not necessarily physical disease. Because anything that separates us from self, body, and God, the body of your family, the body of the church, separates us from God, our diseases. We call them sins. Now, I don't have time to really tell you why he doesn't heal all of them, but let me leave you with this. God is often more willing to heal than we are willing to ask God for healing. We'll break that down some other time, but I want to get to the next story. The next story describes Jesus' power over death. Also waiting in the crowd that day. Actually, Jesus encountered this guy before the woman. These two stories kind of started and then middle and then end again. But I wanted to separate them to show the difference. Also waiting in the story, that crowd was in the boat, was a desperate father with a very sick daughter. His name was Jairus, and he was a leader in the synagogue. And for the sake of his daughter, he risked all of the embarrassment and the religious ridicule, and he comes running to Jesus, falls at his feet, there we go again, and begs Jesus to come heal his dying daughter. "My little girl is dying," he said. "Please come and lay your hands on her heal her till she can live. So Jesus started off with this woman, with this man rather, sorry. And that's when, of course, he touched the bleeding woman, came and interrupt that walk so it can be more weakness. But while she was still talking to her, while he was still talking to her, someone delivered the news that the girl is dead. No need to come. He's dead. She's dead. And all hopes of a miracle in Jairus' faith that he had when he said, come and lay your hands. Because if you lay your hands on her, I know she will alive. All of that seemed to have gone, and Jesus knew it. And he just looked in his eyes and said, don't be afraid. Just trust me. And they continued to Jairus' home. And when Jairus and Jesus and his disciples arrived, what they encountered, what they were called professional mourners who gathered there, they were wailing and sobbing and just crying out, she's dead, she's dead. But in my role as a pastor, let me tell you, there's nothing more agonizing than going to the deathbed of a child. Or seeing a child died on a hospital table. I've been in those spaces, and nothing is worse than that. Like, no person, no parent should lose a child, should have to bury their child. But Jesus just said, she's sleeping. In Jesus' view, death is not the end of the story. The people laughed at Jesus. And Jesus told them to wait outside and go into his bedside with the mom, dad, and along with three of his disciples. Jesus showed the power of death. Let me tell you what Mark said. Holding her hand, he said to her, Talitha kum, which means little girl, get up. And the little girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed. Go God. So in these powerful stories of life restoration, Jesus acts with clear and decisive authority, instilling the storm, casting out demons, curing the incurable, and raising the dead. Taking her hand, he spoke the words of life to this little girl, arise, pointing us to Easter. Mark is giving us the greatest hope in the face of our greatest fear. On that Easter weekend, God's own child will die, and he will lay still in a tomb for 3 days. Everybody thought he was dead, even disciples. It was the end of the story, they thought. But the Spirit of God draw nearer to his son and says, my son, it's time to get up. It's time to get up. And in that moment, death is defeated at last. Jesus does not only have power over demon and disease, he has power over death. Hallelujah. Because my friends, remember, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he has the last word. Not even death can stop him. As our world endures this global pandemic, this is the news, my friends, we need to hear. And it is very good news. Jesus still has the power over death. Those of us who put our faith in Jesus are given the gift and assurance that nothing Not even death can separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. We can now sit day by day as we fall asleep and die, and Jesus will whisper to us, "My dear child, it is time to get up. It is time to get up." And that news feeds my faith. And with everything in the kingdom of Jesus, whatever God does for you, he wants you to give it to somebody else. Somebody else. Because as Jesus is healing me, I get to participate in the healing of others. This healing that we get from Jesus Christ is not something that you hold up and become a holder. You get to pass it on to somebody else. 3 years ago, he healed me from a paralysis, from a stroke, almost hours after I got the stroke. And I was able to go and stand in front of a clergy group in Leesburg to tell them and show them what God's power over healing can do. Amen. I walk on that stage with a slight limp, and I walk off with no limp at all. He left us enough so they can see the healing in the now. Hallelujah. I just finished telling them that, you know what, I was healed, I was saved, because God is not done with me yet. There's more to be done for the kingdom. Each and every one of us are part of that healing ministry of Jesus Christ. He's going to fall on his feet and hear his calling. All of us have a part to play in it. Go fall at his feet and receive what God has for you in this time. He's conquered death for a time like this. In one, he just spoke the words. In the other two, there was a touch. One touched him, and the other he touched. Jesus is here ready to take you by your hand and lead you into wholeness. Heal, fear shall not eat your soul anymore. Fear is not the final. Faith is what feeds our soul. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with your people this day, Lord Jesus. Heal your land where they are right now, God. We just call upon you right now, Lord Jesus, to fall afresh upon us, dear Lord God. Rain your healing spirit among us, dear Lord Jesus. God, we need you so much. We need the faith of Jairus to just lay your hands, come and heal my daughter. We need the faith of the suffering woman who just said, "I only have to touch him." Wherever you are right now, Jesus wants to touch you. Touch you. So open your door of your heart and let him touch you. Touch you. And heal your soul. Amen.